right here, so. Oh, we topped it. We cold topped it.
Okay. Gotta go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by your hosts, Kevin and Mark. Season 3, episode 27, because we got it wrong last week.
You got it wrong last week.
You got it wrong. You agree. You can get, no, it's my fault.
Yeah. You got to take responsibility.
I was wrong. I took responsibility. That's our new company motto. It's called Ryder Cup. Amazing A-Big.
There you go.
Boom.
Yeah. Some
Let's
boy.
Call it actually right, Marvelous Mark.
Why?
Because you, or Mystic Mark.
Because well, I called it.
Because you predict these things, yeah.
Yeah, pretty good at my job, aren't I?
We should get that McGregor. Really goes. They call me Mystic Mark because I predict these things, and then put it with the A bit. That was some shout, by the way.
But you know what? You don't become world number one amateur by mistake.
You don't. What you're gonna say? You don't become world number one podcaster.
Not yet. Maybe one day. No, you don't become world number one amateur and then number one in the PGA Tour rankings and then have a number of top tens on the PGA Tour in your first couple of starts. You've got to remember, he's only turned pro in June, 3 months of pro, one on the
exactly.
DP World
but
Tour.
But there you go. It's like three months of pro, straight into the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I think it was what he'd done in the amateur days and then what he'd done. I think Luke Donald said when he picked him, he played them on a PGA Tour event and he was blown away by him. And I think winning was the final straw, but...
Well, we get into that in a second. Let's have a little chat about any golf.
No.
Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Where did it go? Fucking hell, everything rolled into one day. I'm fucking...
West Lancs, you got baby brain.
Oh, God, yeah, we won as well.
We won West Lancs in the truest of Lynx tests, wasn't
that was. It? How did I forget that? Yeah, that was really good.
I haven't played West Lancs like that, because if the weather's like that, you usually look outside and you think, nah, we just play a different day, innit?
Yeah, I started par-par and finished par-par, but other than that, it was a bit of a whirlwind,
it
literally.
Was. But we got the job done.
We did, 1-1 in the series now, yeah.
So that's good.
It's always tough in them conditions, because the rough was up as well.
Yeah.
Imagine open qualifying in them conditions.
This is the open qualifying had it easy.
They did, yeah.
We did say that, the rough down, no wind.
Yeah.
No wonder them scores were getting shot.
Yeah, did Matt Wallace win in the end, or was it Matthew Jordan?
Matthew. Not too sure, you know.
I can't remember who won it overall, but Matt Wallace, Matthew Jordan,
Alex Fitz,
Tiger Christian, Alex Fitz, and
someone Barker.
Yeah, the South African guy.
Yeah.
So I haven't played West Lancs for a while, and it is a really good track, isn't it?
It's boss.
I do like it.
Do you know what I always think about? I don't know if I said this on the podcast before, but there's nowhere. It's a bit like SNA as well. Like there's nowhere where you can like see it,
as in.
Like, you just don't see it, do you? You can't, like, drive round it, or you just don't see any. It looks like at that entrance on Hall Road in the middle of, like, the houses in, like, Crosby, and then it's just
oh, right,
there.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, it's the definition of a hidden gem.
Yeah, really is, yeah. You all are down there, though, aren't they? Even form, but you've got to go down a...
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, hillside, you've got to go round the estate to get in. It's only Birkdale, really, isn't it, that you can literally... See its presence, the clubhouse as you're going down.
I think it's because I drive around Crosby a lot. It just hit me that it was like hidden.
No, yeah.
Like nestled between the tracks and the sea.
We are lucky to be honest, to have the courses we've got round here. Yeah, to play Hillside last week, the week before, sorry, West Lancs last week. Are you in tomorrow for Formby?
No, we can't play that.
No, is that being cancelled? Okay.
Yeah. I did play Formby Hall though as well. It's in nice condition. You know, we've got it well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well. Greens rolling lovely.
Have you played other than?
Yeah, I played SNA on Sunday as well.
Bloody hell.
Being at it,
and you've been back in to see John, haven't you?
Well, do you know what? I've been to see John there, and like, it's mad. Do you know what? As well, what I wanted to link into this is Matt from 3D Strong, who've got the program off. When I looked at that program. Because there's not a lot of golf movements in it, it doesn't feel like you're doing a golf workout. So it's hard to like, it was hard to stick to. We've still got it done, but it's difficult because you don't feel like you sometimes like the ankle movements and these different things. But when you actually go deeper into the golf swing, like John's quite deep and like I was twisting and like sitting into the right back of my right foot.
Yeah.
twisting the hip. My right foot kept coming up, and like it's my ankle mobility. So it need like to turn and to take that pressure, but keep the foot on the ground. Them ankle movements that Matt was given are paramount.
Yeah, to make them little,
to make the little adjustments and little twists. So
yeah,
I feel like he was ahead of his time with us. So I'm going to speak to him about getting that program revamped.
It's specific to the little things, like you say, the little 1% that you need. So that mobility.
I think what he could have done with is an explanation behind it. As like, this is an ankle movement for this, but with this part of the golf swing.
Yeah.
This is that for this, and get like the perfect swing up. And that's what I believe will take him to the next level.
Yeah, he'll benefit from probably working with a pro.
Well, we'll get him in on our stage two of the Apeiron Academy.
Yeah, we are. Yeah,
which we're running on the 19th of September. If there's anyone out there that wants to join.
Yeah, so obviously a bit of an explanation about what that is. It's a six-week program where you will learn the fundamentals of golf. So it's for all abilities, really. I think the last session proved that. Like, it doesn't matter how good you are. There's certain things that you need to do in a golf swing that will never leave you. And the whole point of this is obviously to bring it back to basics and to give you a base to then eventually go and get one-to-one or move into the group coaching session. So over the 6 weeks, it's £150. You will get 6 one-hour coaching sessions in a group environment, a Apeiron polo, and the facility and golf balls provided for when you get there.
And it's like the last group, there was a fun-filled environment where people were coming in saying they won, I've done this, or this has improved. And
yeah,
it gives you a chance to go, if anything, you go the range 6 times, which is more than you probably go on your own back.
Well, it's 6 times. It's every week and consistent.
Exactly.
It?
That's you know, it. Obviously, and you're going with a purpose instead of just going to see how far you can hit it.
Like Kevin said, if anyone's interested, just drop us a message on the social media platforms or
whatever. Or if anyone knows anyone that's interested,
holler. Just let us know, yeah.
Tell you what I am going to do, though. I've made the conscious decision to do.
Go on.
Learn aim point.
Why?
I just can't read greens unless it's a proper swinger. I just can't see the subtle fellas. And even like when I do see it, even when I do read it right, I can't commit to it. And then even sometimes I'm hitting right to left, isn't it going left to right? Like 2 balls outside the right and it goes right.
No way.
Swear.
That bad, yeah.
That bad.
Yeah, I think in situations like that, you probably need to move to sort of more physical, like physical feel in the slopes rather than...
Well, this lad, Jason, who plays at West Lancs, was showing me. And like he just put the level down with the little digital level. And it said like 2.4. So he's like, that's around 2.5. And then he was like, every third, you break the putt into 3. So you put the level, it was like 2.2, and put the level 2, put the level, it was 1. So he's like, you want to start this like a medium pace with like, say, 2 balls out, and then it'll break, and then it'll take less break, and it'll go in. And he just did it, and it went in. And I was just like, sold.
Yeah.
To the highest bidder.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been all right at reading greens, to be honest. So I've never thought of changing, but I can see it gives you more of it. I know there's no science to put in because there's a lot of luck involved as well, but you've got to start online, haven't you?
Of course, but I only had 1 3-putt. It was like, it was to the back of 2 on SNA, and it was a front flag.
That's a tough 2-putt anyway.
And yeah, but then I was looking, I was like, right, start, like doing that back hump with it's like a black plateau, back plateau there. Yeah. It was like down there, and then it was up, and then it was uphill again. And like, I just like started it right, and then it like went, and then it just went, and I was 20 foot left. I was just like, wow.
Did it go up the slope and then come back round?
It didn't even make it up there.
Didn't it?
Like, it should have been well higher. Like, yeah. Obviously, it's a tough putt, but I'm not just blaming that one. But I only held like 2 putts all day, and they were like distinct, like,
yeah, you want to give yourself a chance, don't you? You've got to start it online.
No, of course. Not
that's
like,
if you're saying you're completely getting the breaks wrong, as in like it's a right to left and you're starting it left.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a big problem because you're never going to hold putts unless
the putts I held were like a couple of the 30 footer on the 9th, and I held like a 25 footer on 17. Apart from that, do you know the way like putts like are online, they threaten the hole a little bit.
Yeah.
Or they're close. They're just dollying up to like 4 foot.
Yeah,
it's awful.
And then it's your confidence then, isn't it? Because you start telling yourself you're a shite putter, and then like you start stroking it a bit different as well, I think.
Well, I swapped my grip. Like,
yeah,
changed
you start
putter,
doing
like,
all madness, just, yeah.
I think if you're fundamentals.
I think if you're in that position, it doesn't matter what, your stroke could be perfect, but if you start on a right, left, put left edge.
Well, what I was hoping was, is if I learn aim point and I can, I'm getting told what the slopes are, then I might be able to see. When you tell me, I can see them.
Yeah.
Like when you were going like, this is, and now, as you were saying it, started like becoming clear in my mind. So that's what I'm hoping
for. So what's that vision thing that we were saying where it's like that?
And the eye dominance.
Eye dominance, right. So what I do is, and I've always done this, is I'll look at the contours on the green. I'll look to see where the uphill putt is. So not what's on my line, just where the uphill putts are. So I know where the slopes are going from. And then I will take a line on my putt and I'll pick an intermediate target. I'll use the shaft to give me the intermediate target from my golf ball to where I want it. So I'll set the shaft of the putter from my golf ball. If it's two cups from the right, I'll set it two cups from the right on land the ball. And then I'll pick something about 2 inches in front of my ball. And then that's what I'll line me putter up to. So then I know in my head, even if I'm not and I'm slightly out, I know in my head from a confidence perspective, I'm completely square to where I want to go. All I need to do is just stroke this, and that's all I think about is the stroke. I'm not thinking about the putt. I do all the reading the putt, taking the slopes and the contours, and then picking the intermediary target. And then it's just down to the stroke, then the pace and obviously getting the right line. And
I know that's
where I've always done it, and I've always been a decent putter. So I've never bothered changing. But I think with you, if you're struggling and questioning and changing your grip halfway around and, you know, leaving them 4 foot short, and that, I think you probably are best changing to something like that.
I just think that me chipping's improved a lot, and I feel like I am losing strokes round the green.
What I think would be good for you to do as well in practice is use aim point and learn aim point, but also try and read the green as well.
That's what I'm hoping. What I'm hoping for, because I feel like when I had David's chipping method and then I went to Mark Hyde's chipping method, I still use David's. So it's having both. You know, it's not hell-bent on
variety is
the spice of life.
It is, yeah. I think when it comes to short game imagination, you know, you're never going to have a perfect lie every time where you can just play the natural shot. Sometimes you'd have to get wristy and get a lot of speed through the ball to get it high and all this stuff and, you know, plugged in the bunker. You're not going to play.
Oh, go on. Shot of me life, by the way.
Where?
SNA, fourth.
Yeah.
Drove the green. And it's come, you could see it come and it's rolled back
left
in.
Bunker.
First one.
Yeah.
It was like, it was dead, it was deep online. It.
Yeah.
I was like 2 foot from the back of the bunker. Okay. No swing, no stance. Halfway down the metal.
It's deep.
Halfway down the metal to get the swing, hooded the face and just like played it like a plug, popped out and just shot forward, back pin, rolled to like 15 foot.
Unbelievable.
Missed the putt.
Of course
it did. Of course I did. But honestly, it was like the amount of someone's imagination, creativity, like sideways was the option. And like it just come to me to play. I was looking and putting it. But I think that's it though.
You know, because you're confident with your chipping, because you've got a different variety of shots. If you've just got one standard shot and you think my standard shot means I've got no chance here, you're going to have to go sides because exactly, you've learned. Yeah. Varieties, and you know what the clubs do. You understand what the bounce does on the wedge. You understand what like hooding it does. You know where the ball's going to go when you hood it and things like that. Like all this knowledge is key.
No, of course.
For knowing how your ball's going to react,
picking the right shot.
Yeah, of course it is.
But I just think me long game, like John's got getting me long game to a decent. It was already half decent. I think fine tuning me pitching and putting. I feel like that'll take me to like shooting under par, which is on the agenda.
That's it. Swing for show, puffer, though, innit?
Exactly.
Yeah, you've got a whole putt if you've got any chance.
Any golf news?
There was just news that came through. I'm not sure if it was last week or a couple of weeks ago. Gary Woodland, he's after going for brain surgery.
Really?
He's taking some time off from golf, yeah.
Wow.
I'm not sure what the what happens, but yeah, he's taking some time off golf. He's got to go in for some surgery. So obviously just wishing him the best of luck with his recovery, really. Yeah.
I didn't even know. Cam Smith is making a return to the DP World Tour.
What for the PGA Champs?
PGA Tour of Australasia and the PGA Championship.
So he's playing Wentworth next week?
No, no. This is Australia.
Oh, okay.
So like he's like, I can come back home to play some golf. I love playing down under, just to hanging out. playing golf in front of the fans, something that I love doing. I'm coming back home, but sanctioned with the DP World Tour as well. So, don't know how they'll be feeling about that.
I think now with everything that's gone on since then, they're going to have to be okay with it, aren't they? Because, you know, the Liv and PGA Tour are coming to some sort of arrangements, whatever that is. We
don't
know.
Probably just the media hyping it up like it's negative.
Yeah.
Negative sells, don't it?
No, I think, you know, if you want the crowds to turn out in Australia, he's the man that needs to play.
1,000,000%.
So you look at the Live Australia and what happened there at Adelaide. Majority of fans there wanting to see Cam Smith.
Of course,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
So speaking of Live, they've snapped up the services of Washington DC's most prominent lobbying firms, the Aiken Gump, Strauss and Feld, in a bid to help them navigate their way through Congress.
Oh, is that still going on?
I think this is like the whole takeover bid. Like,
if because Congress wanted them to justify something, didn't they? Or to be able to explain what
they've come out with loads. Like, but they've got like some heavy hitters involved.
Well, they're going to need to, aren't they? If they're going to Congress, Congress is the top one, isn't it? Like,
Congress is like the Senate, like
it's like going to government, isn't it?
Well, their offices in the White House, like
yeah.
So, do you want to get into the Omega Masters, or do you want to chat Ryder Cup?
Well, I think we should talk the picks first, yeah?
Yeah.
Obviously, it interlinks with the Omega Masters as well, doesn't it? Because if it weren't for the finish of Matt Fitzpatrick and Abig, does he get the pick? You know, 4 birdies in the last 5 holes, 4 in a row.
Does he get the pick?
Abig?
Oh, right, I see.
Compared to Matt Fitzpatrick finishing with 3 bogeys. It's a seven, only 1 by 2, but it was a 7-shot swing, that.
Do you think that was whoever wins that plays?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. It got to a point where Matt Fitzpatrick was 17 under, Alex Fitzpatrick was 15, Abig was 15, and Nicolai Højgaard was 15. And I thought, if any of them three win, they're going. If Alex would have went, I think because of the way Abig has started his career, and now Alex has done well as well, but I think obviously everybody was talking about Abig getting in there, and Alex was only sort of being talked about since his Challenge Tour win, and obviously what he's done on the DP World Tour since then, whereas Abig's been talked about previous to that. Because
I think
there'd have
been more uproar if they took Alex over Maronk.
Yeah, exactly that.
Not Abig.
Well, I was looking at obviously the non-picks, so there's 2 non-picks that you could argue should have been in there on both sides, the European and the American team, because obviously last week we recorded on the Monday, and the Tuesday it was announced that Justin Thomas got his pick, weren't it? So Yannick Paul, he's had 1 DP Tour win. He was 11th in the race to Dubai this season, and out of 18 tournaments, he's only missed 3 cuts and had 6 top 10s. Does that justify a pick ahead of Abig and Nicolai Højgaard? Because they're probably the 2, aren't they? Nicolai Højgaard and Abig have got in over Yannick Paul and Adrian Maronk, really.
Yeah, well, Maronk's won the Irish Open, so he's defending champ this week, Australian Open, and he's won the Italian Open at that course.
And Marco
in May.
Simeone, yeah.
He's had 5 of the top 10 finishes, and he's 3rd in the DP World Rankings, only behind Rory and Rahm. Like, to not make the Ryder Cup, because some little Swede when I'm won. Like,
do you know what? Yeah, I'm mixed about it, because I spoke a couple of weeks ago. I don't think it's the Abig. I think Abig should get in against ahead of Højgaard, me.
I think Larry's the one keeping quiet, who definitely shouldn't be there.
Well, yeah, I think if you're going to pick young, inexperienced, because we've got 4 rookies, yeah, Sepp Straka, Robert McIntyre,
Højgaard
and Abig. So 4 of your 12, you know what I mean? That's like, what, 30% of your team?
Yeah.
Are rookies. So, you know, I think you have to have experience in there. And Larry, it's a similar story to Justin Thomas, you know, form-wise, not being on it, but can still turn it on in those environments. But yeah, I agree, though. You look at Adrian Maronk and Yannick Paul not getting picked ahead of Abig and Nicolai Højgaard. Do you agree with that?
I agree with what you said. It's the future of the sport, isn't it? They're young blood, up and coming.
Yeah, 22 and 23 years of age.
You think that he might have left Nicolai out because he couldn't pick Rasmus as well, and like give them another couple of years and get them both in?
Yeah, I think because Nicolai had such a good start in America, got his temporary membership, on the PGA Tour, and obviously Abig has played well in America and then played well over here.
There should just be a separate Ryder Cup standing.
Based on what?
Or based on everything that you do in the 2 years.
I was quite surprised we've done six and six as well. We don't normally do that, do we?
Yeah, yeah.
Six automatic and six picks.
Yeah.
Do we normally do that?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was only four picks that we'd done.
I thought it was always six and six.
I know America was always six and six, but I didn't think that we'd done six and six.
I thought America was, America's got, I thought America was 9-3.
This is going well. No, I always add them as, yeah.
Whatever you think it is probably more right than what I'm saying.
But on the flip side, so yeah, I think Abig at the age of 23, obviously turning pro in June, winning Nikolai Højgaard, age 22, and what they've done in the sport. Obviously, Abig more from an amateur coming into the pro game and then doing so well as a starting pro, but then Højgaard doing so well in his first couple of years on the DP World Tour and now doing fairly decent when he's getting his chance on the PGA Tour. I think next time there's a Ryder Cup, they're going to be a bit more mature with a bit more experience on the tours, and 25, 26-year-olds to have some sort of Ryder Cup experience. You don't want to wait till like 30, 32, like a Straka, only getting your spot now because of form. I think Maronk's similar age, isn't he? Is he like 30?
Do you reckon they take all that into account, or just like...
Well, they've got to, I think, because it's the future, isn't it? It's the future of this competition. Even
if they're going to be good enough in 2 years, it doesn't matter if they're the rookie or not.
It doesn't, but...
Because they'd be more experienced as golfers.
Yeah, but not in that environment. So if somebody like Abig and Nikolai Højgaard, the next time they get to play in Europe, representing Team Europe, is going to be in 4 years' time.
Yeah, but who's to say that they're going to continue to get better?
There's no guarantees, is there?
Exactly.
But I think the way that they're playing and where they're destined to go and the trend that they've got, you would say, like, Abig's not just automatically going to turn into a poor golfer overnight, is he? He's got the ability to be a major champion, potentially a number one player in the world, based on what he's done in the amateur rankings and then how quickly he started in the pro. It's similar to the start that the likes of Matt Wolf got off to when he started.
Yeah, but then look at him.
Yeah, but look at Morikawa.
Exactly.
What do you mean?
Well, he's gone backwards as well, hasn't he?
He's won two majors.
Yeah, out the gates, and then what since?
Well, yeah, he's done all right. He's just had a bad season, I think.
Yeah, they were saying next Tiger, like if he doesn't win next season again, you start getting that
next
duck.
Tiger, though, come on.
That was getting shouted about loudly.
Yeah, but
by you, if I take that up.
No comments. I agree with the selections, and it's difficult for Adrian Maronk, because he does deserve a pick.
Do you want me to tell you who doesn't agree with you?
Go on.
Our mate, Hunter Mahan.
What he said?
He said, it makes zero sense.
To not pick Maronk.
To take Maronk. To not take Maronk over.
It is. It's a difficult one, and it's the same on the other side with Keegan Bradley.
Be no. A good chance to get him back on, wouldn't it? If you say, listen, what do you think of that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
So let's message him and get him back on, because he said he'd do a Ryder Cup one.
So they come with us if we throw him out. The legend.
But if you look at the other side as well, Justin Thomas getting a selection over Keegan Bradley.
Over
Keegan
Bryson?
Yeah, over Keegan Bradley, over Bryson, over Cam Young. Keegan Bradley, in his career, has won six PGA Tour wins. We know he's a major champion.
So how many picks did Zach Johnson have?
Six.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's won twice this year, Keegan Bradley. Out of 23 events, he's made 18 cuts. He's had six top tens. He finished ninth overall in the FedEx. Only six American players finished above him this season on the overall rankings.
Mm.
And Justin Thomas gets a pick ahead of him.
Politics, experience, hopefully comes back to haunt them.
I mean, the thing with Justin Thomas is he is the type of player who can put a bit of time in. And
seen him with all his noodles on the range today.
Seen that today, yeah. But, you know, he's the type that can turn it on for that week.
He can.
Any week he could have turned up.
Any of them can. You could take me.
What do you mean?
Like, you could take anyone. Like, they could turn it on in them sort of environments. Pairs, so, like you turn it on in pairs.
That's it, to be fair.
Like,
yeah.
You don't have to play every hole. There's no consequence to me and all that.
And maybe that's one of the arguments for taking them. You know, he enforces, he's only playing half the shot. So, and there's no room for them all to play every game. So there has to be times where there's only, you know, when it's the morning matches, only eight players get picked. So four have to sit out every time. It's only the singles where all 12 have to play.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's to say Justin Thomas doesn't sit out, only gets two starts?
No, yeah.
That's one of the things McGinley was saying when he was talking about Aberg. He said, like, Aberg's got the pick, but he might only get two chances. You know, you get one game in the foursomes, one game in the singles.
Exactly.
And that's it. So, yeah, I do...
But like you said, like what I was saying, he could melt, but you were saying, imagine he can't and just rinse them.
Well, that's it. And that's... Golf needs players like that, next generational golfers. So we need to see. We need to get excited about an Aberg. You know,
it's one of them things where you look back and think, wow, him taking Aberg and unlucky for you taking Thomas, and it's just a big massive, like, we win the Ryder Cup in Rome.
Yeah.
Or it could be like Aberg bombs it, Justin Thomas is a stormer, and we get whoop-assed again.
Well, that's what's exciting about the Ryder Cup this time, though, because, you know, you look on paper, Max Homer, Scottie Scheffler, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, the list goes on. The American team is unbelievable. You know,
so is Europe, though, isn't it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. But Europe have got really good players in, obviously, Rahm.
Hovi.
Hovland, Matt Fitzpatrick,
Rory.
Tommy Fleetwood's played really well. Rory.
So if you've left Rory bottom of that list, like.
But you know, as you go down the list and you're looking at the four that have never played it before, are they going to rise to the occasion? You just don't know.
Well, Shane Strack has been over and beat everyone in America, hasn't he? So he knows he can win.
He knows he can beat the, yeah, because he's played in the PGA Tour and won.
Yeah, he's played, and he's been around in and around them every week.
Yeah.
Aberg just seems.
I think he seems fearless.
Fearless, exactly, yeah, yeah. The word.
It's pressure, but then it's also, you've got the home support, so they're going to be cheering every shot. This is why it's important to take these rookies now whilst it's on home turf, because they're not going to have the boos and the shouts against them. And, you know, if Aberg, like you said before, Aberg and Rory get paired up day one, and like the three up through the first 10 holes or whatever, the crowd's going to be going mad, innit?
Imagine, like, when you said, like, Aberg and a Rory McIlroy against, like, a Max Homer and a Xander Schauffele. Imagine that match actually happened. And, like, one of us is going to be right.
I'm happy with the European team. And moving on to the birdie bogey bust.
Boom.
It's that time again, y'all. The birdie bogey bust. The birdie bogey bust. Birdie bogey bust.
My birdie is the European Ryder Cup team. I think it's got a great blend of youth and experience, and we're in a very strong position to regain the Ryder Cup because of...
Well, yeah. My birdie was, like, I've got full confidence in us winning the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, I think when,
like,
you look...
Everyone's peaked at the right time. Like,
yeah.
Aberg winning, Hovland winning the whole thing. Rahm is John Rahm's matter.
Rahm and Rory have been playing well all season.
And then, like, I just think that it's...
Tommy Fleetwood's had an amazing season. Yeah. He's the highest ever finish in the FedEx.
Sixth or whatever he was.
Yeah. Obviously, Tyrrell Hatton just made it into the top 30, but then had an unbelievable couple of days, didn't he? And got, don't know where he finished in the end, like 15th, middle of the pack or whatever. But again, Tyrrell Hatton, he's another one who's, like, ruthless in their match play situations. You know what I mean? He's... I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for, but he's...
He's got that blank face, but then he explodes as well.
That's it. The emotionlessness of him.
But it's mad because he's super emotional as well.
That's why I can't get the word out what I'm looking for.
He's an enigma.
there's something about him, which I think he just makes him so difficult to play against.
Yeah, because he looks like he's not asking, and the next minute he screams at himself.
What's that? What's the word for that?
Unpredictable.
There you go. That's what we're going for. Yeah. My bogey is JT getting selected over Keegan Bradley.
Oh, my bogey is Aberg getting picked.
What?
Because you called it.
No, yeah, JD getting selected over Keegan Bradley.
JD, man.
JT. Because of JD and Coke. JT. I just think, like I said before, just repeating what I mentioned, he's definitely got the ability to turn it on and obviously to win every match if he wants to. But in general terms, Keegan Bradley's had a really, really good season. Strong season. Two wins on the PGA Tour. Not easy to do. Finished the top 10 overall. And when you consider the season JT's had... Similar to the Maronk not getting picked, it's difficult to see them two miss out considering the season they've had. But if you don't get the automatic selections, you don't get in.
That's it, brother. That's it.
And what's your bust?
The fact that there's no PGA Tour.
Okay. There is still the fall season, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not till next week, and it hasn't been. Like, I mean, you're just chilling on, like, Saturday night, and there's, like, the golf's on. I think it's because I'm not drinking. So I'm, like, I'm just, like, looking for things to watch, and I'm like, oh, no golf.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Mine's the Bogey Boys Fantasy Golf League delay.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we've got plans to do the fall season. We're having a few issues, aren't we?
Yeah, but I think all that will just work itself out.
We've only got 2 days before it starts, so hopefully it's sorts itself out soon, because we need to announce it, get the pot selection sorted and get them out, and obviously get people starting to play, because we've promised the world, really.
I know.
So, yeah, that's all, my bus is just obviously, you know...
Technical difficulties.
It is. But
it back a week.
That season that we've just had in the Fantasy Golf League, obviously Graham Lawther...
Shite on it.
Come from nowhere, won. Richard Healy second after leading for so long, he got caught, and I got third, and you got fourth.
I know. So it just shows being in every week, you've still got a chance to beat you.
But yeah, no, what's Omega Masters then?
Yeah, do you know what? Aberg had four late birdies to seal the deal, and obviously Matt and Alex are finding some good form, third and fifth, respectively.
Yeah, well, Matt had one hand on the trophy, really, and one arm in that red jacket. And he's obviously won there in the past, hasn't he? So you're thinking, top quality player, he's done it before. He's got a 3-shot lead with 5 or 6 holes to go. You know, he's gonna bring it home. Nobody's catching him. And then there was 2 par 5s together, weren't there? 14 and 15. Aberg goes birdie. Alex Fitzpatrick goes par. And Matt Fitzpatrick goes par bogey, and then follows it with another bogey on the par 3-16th. So then all of a sudden you're looking at it and thinking, wow, that 3-shot lead, he's now being caught. And then Aberg goes and gets another 2 birdies, and Matt Fitzpatrick making another bogey, ends up finishing 3 behind him.
Yeah.
It's like a 7-shot swing in 5 or 6 holes. It's unbelievable crazy, finish. And obviously the fact that it was Aberg that was doing it in the final tournament before the Ryder Cup, and obviously justifies his selection, because I think if he doesn't win that, the conversation between picking him over Maronka is so different.
It wouldn't happen.
Do you think?
No way.
Do you think that was the decider?
What about this then? So I believe that was the decider. I think it was a winner takes all. But you think that if like a Perez won that, he'd go? Well, or a Yannick Paul?
Well, yeah,
I think it just a special case for Aberg.
I think if Yannick Paul would have won it, he would have got the automatic selection. So would Robert McIntyre have got the pick? Is the question, isn't
it? See, it's mad, isn't it?
And would have Maron got the
it
pick
doesn't
over?
Doesn't feel like he's picked a 23-year-old rookie who's turned pro 3 months ago. It feels like he's picked Ludvig Aberg,
a superstar.
Who's a superstar? Yeah,
it does. Yeah.
Do you know if you pick? I know like this is sound bad because I was talking about some fella's name here, but like Yannick Paul to me doesn't sound as saucy as Ludvig Aberg. Do you know what I mean? Like, are you on what I'm saying here?
Yeah, yeah. At times when like players who are hyped up, like Ludvig Aberg from the college system, and we talk about it every week about how well prepped they are through that system for when they turn professional. If you've got somebody like a Ludvig Aberg, there's a lot of pressure on him. And he even said in his interview afterwards, if you'd have been talking to me about the Ryder Cup on a turn pro, if you're asking me, do I think I would have been capable of making it, I would have said yeah. But if you're asking me, would it be realistic, I'd have said no. So yeah, even he wouldn't have had the Ryder Cup in his sight.
No 23-year-old who's playing professional 3 months ago would have that in their eyeballs.
So it's obviously, you know, credit to him as a player for just getting off to such a fast start. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, all right, fair enough. He didn't win on the PGA Tour, but he played very well and performed well and competed and had a chance. And in some tournaments, he was leading after a couple of days. So
he was.
You know,
and he can shoot the light out as well.
Yeah. And to come over to the DP World Tour, finished third in his first ever DP World Tour event. It was a third or fourth he finished. And then to go and win the week after. It's exactly what I was saying to you. If Alex Fitzpatrick finishes like second or third and then goes to win the next week, I think he justifies a pick.
Yeah,
that's exactly what Aberg done, and he got his pick. And I think it's justifiable. It's just unfortunate that Maronk's had such a strong season and he's actually won at the venue for 4 months ago at the same venue that this is getting hardly. Like, as soon as Adrian Maronk had won the Irish Open, won the Australian Open, then won at Marco Simeone, there would be nobody in the world that would say to you in 4 months' time, he's not going to get in the Ryder Cup. He'd have been one of the first on the name sheet. So you can understand why there's so much press and heat about Maronk not getting the selection. But unfortunately, when you get a superstar like Haberg, who rises so quickly and does so well, you can't hold players like that back, because it's the future of the sport, isn't it?
Exactly, brother. Exactly.
Yeah. So I know we had a little bit of a gripe, didn't we, last week about the scheduling, mainly the French Open, wasn't it? Because it was the week before the Ryder Cup, and we don't think many players are going to play in it. But I think it's an exciting time having the Irish Open followed by the BMW over the next 2 weeks ahead of going to the Ryder Cup at the end of the month.
I might get down to Wentworth and have a little nose. I like a little Wentworth trip. Brings me back to my roots, that. Sleeping under scoreboards and ting.
Irish Open on that point.
Yeah, the Horizon Irish Open at the K Club, par 72, 7,441 yards. I haven't said this in a while, but bit of a beast.
Yeah. Hosted the 2006 Ryder Cup. The players know it very well. Last time it was here in 2016, Rory produced a birdie par eagle finish to win the Irish Open by 3 strokes. And he said he cannot wait for this week. He grew up watching it, but also attending the Irish Open as a kid. So, as you can understand, it's one that's close to him. And quite a good field as well.
Yeah, so Adrian's going to have a bit of a titty lip on him defending it. Like,
yeah, he will definitely. Yeah.
But Rory and Lowry. Wow. Rory and Lowry and Hatton.
Ryder Cup players, the only ones in action, aren't they? Yeah.
They are, yeah. But yeah, it's nice to see them in action. And like, Lowry needs to, he said that again then, Lowry needs to finger out alert.
Yeah. Well, he's defending the PGA next week, isn't he? So hopefully that gives him some good vibes heading into what is an important couple of weeks for him, because, you know, there's no Team USA in the field this week, but there's going to be some of them next week,
yeah,
at the PGA Champs at Wentworth. So
I think Maronk's going to win this week, you know, proper grip between his teeth and just do it.
Billy Horschel done it, didn't he? Never got the pick.
Billy Horschel's in the field as well, randomly enough.
Yeah.
He didn't get the pick and one Wentworth.
Didn't get the pick and one Wentworth, yeah. Last time at Whistling Straits. So, you know, yeah, Adrian Maronk's obviously playing very well. He was challenging last week in the Omega Masters, wasn't he? Was it a poor final round or a poor Saturday, which sort of ended it for him? But obviously, Alex Fitzpatrick. What are we up to here? Alex Fitzpatrick, he gets another opportunity. And he'll be looking now to break into the top 50 for the DP World Champs. He's moved up to 69th after just 8 qualifying events.
Wow.
Which, again, is another huge rise. He's obviously,
of course, yeah,
well-positioned now, obviously, off the back of his win. Haberg's now moved into the top 50. So at the moment, he looks like he's going to be playing the DP World Champs in November, as long as he keeps his form. So I think it'd be really good to see them both do that. Obviously, Alex Fitz will need a good week this week. I'm not sure if he gets an invite to play next week or he'll get in based on his top 50. But Adam Scott in the field, Mimou Lee, obviously always strong this time of year and playing in these events. So I'm looking forward to watching it.
Tell you who else in the field. Craig Lee.
Yeah, off the back of his PJ North.
Won in the PJ North and then got the W over in Cyprus. So that could be, or could have been, Paul Kinnear.
Could have, yeah.
Like,
I know. Did Paul finish second in that?
No, he wasn't, I think, like 10th or something.
Ah, right, okay, yeah.
But he got himself to Cyprus and he won the Order of Merit round here and he's doing well again.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
So, interesting times, and then he gets to play next week as well. At Wentworth, is that next week?
Wentworth's next week,
yeah. He gets to play Wentworth as well.
Unbelievable.
So,
yeah, so obviously not much golf going on, but there's a lot of golf news. There's a lot of hype about the Ryder Cup. There's a big build-up now.
Another bit of golf news that we posted on Twitter, Instagram. Van Damme's driver. Wow. That split the... Hasn't really. Everyone just says it's their fault.
Well, she's the one who pulled the rope up, but yeah, she's not driving, so she's got no choice if it's going that way, is it? She suppose she's got to lift the rope, hasn't she?
Yeah, like there was a conversation that should have been had to say, there's a rope coming here. Slow down a bit, make sure to get it over my driver. But like they just sort of chugged through and just like bink and decapitated the driver.
It was unbelievable, wasn't it?
What's your stance on it?
Whose fault is it?
No, on like what should happen after that.
I think she should be given a new driver.
Isn't it? So like the tournament's over, it's going to extra bonus time. That was true when I heard that. It was in America. And like I was it was America or Australia one of the time. I was watching the Premier League on this mad channel, and it was like it went to watching a cup game went to extra time, and I was like, we have some surprise bonus football. I was just like, wow.
Yeah, no, I in circumstances like that. Yeah,
like, fair enough. If it was any other hole, whatever. But if you're going to a playoff, it's starting afresh. Like
it wouldn't take them long.
It's like getting a new ball, isn't it?
Yeah, it wouldn't take them long to get a new driver.
Yeah, I wonder. Like this probably isn't allowed either. But like, could you take your driver head off and put it on your freewood shaft? Or do you have to start with the same commitment that you've started with?
Yeah, I don't think you can change shafts mid.
Yeah, but it's after the tournament.
It's not, though, is it? Because the tournament's not officially over until the winner's announced.
Oh. Just when you've got no comeback. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I'm just thinking, could in Kev's rules of golf that I'd made that time?
Listen, I think, right, there's no advantage to be gained there. It's just disadvantage. And I think when you've played 72 holes, you've got yourself to a playoff.
And it's a freak of nature.
And you are favourite. You're the best player out of the three. It's on a par five to finish. You hit it the furthest out of the three. And you get that driver taken off you. It's completely unfair when it's not the fault of your own. I don't know the logistics behind getting a new driver to here before they actually tee off and go and what the delays would have been. But ultimately, like, it's not really fair that she's had to go to that tee. And obviously, she'd have been fuming as well. The mindset.
And she fumes as well.
Does she?
Yeah. Well, I played with her in Saudi.
Oh, yeah.
And she, it's clubs and...
Ricky Hatton. Not Ricky Hatton. Till Hatton.
Yeah, she's like
that. I watched
that
Ricky Hatton documentary. That's what made me think about it. Have you seen it yet?
No, no. I've seen, a few clips of it, adverts.
It's great, you know.
I'm going to watch that tonight.
Yeah. Another bit of news that we never spoke about was the Walker Cup.
Right. Yeah.
Team America got the victory over GB and Ireland. It was the singles, really, that won it. The GB and Ireland had quite a lead, I think, by 4 or 5 going into the final day. And the Americans just dominated.
Did they, yeah?
In the singles, yeah, and ended up winning. I think it was 15.5, 11.5 off the top of my head. I'm not really sure, but...
And we haven't had much luck in that. In the Walker Cup, and we reviewed them all, and it was like, we just took pasting after
I know.
But yeah.
Anyway,
so
have we got anything else?
No, what we'll do is we will, fingers crossed, have the Fantasy League back, and we'll get our picks out on Instagram.
Perfect. Right then, we'll catch you all next week when we'll have a look at more golf and see what's happening.
Ciao.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh boy, is he out of sync.